Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, one track at a time. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kamira, joining me as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling? Are you as tired as I am?
Tired but content. I tell you, we had a tremendous all-star August here on the show, Mark. We had amazing guests all the way through, but it's kind of nice just to get back to just you and I in a kind of a low-key affair this evening. Now this weekend I sat in a chair for 6 hours and watched every second of the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert, and I don't regret a second of it. But you were a little busy. Where were you this weekend?
Well, you mentioned low-key, and I was busy playing Loki over at Dragon Con in Atlanta, Dragon Con 2022. The lady and I made our way down there, and it's basically just about a week-long event. If you've never been, I won't say it rivals San Diego's Comic Con in terms of scope, but it is pretty damn big. I think they set a new record, but since we are quote unquote post pandemic, we set a record for 65,000 in attendance. Wow. It was craziness. And don't you worry, I'm still good. I'm still healthy. I've checked, I've tested. We're good. We're good to go on that one. But it was an overwhelming sight to behold, and you guys know me, or if, maybe you don't know me that well, but if you do, you know I live for the nerdiness and all the good geeky shit, and Dragon Con is nothing if not geeky shit. And some of the highlights I must point out: live music at the con. We got to see bands like I, Scintilla, and the Crew Shadows, who are sort of a kind of goth rock slash slight EDM dance sort of bands, but they are mainstays at the con, and they did a fantastic job, as well as some of the other subsidiary bands. Heard a lot of folk rock and folk metal bands that were playing. That was always good fun. It's good to have some rock and roll and some metal join you at a convention.
I didn't know folk metal was a thing.
Oh, it's a thing. I mean, it's, and there are layers. There are layers of folk metal as well. Bands like The Who, that do old Mongolian style music. You could say that's folk metal, because they do definitely play in the metal style. Heilung, the sort of Norse metal, they're kind of metal, but they play on traditional instruments, so by definition it's not really metal, but the way they present it is pretty damn heavy, so you be the judge. So yeah, folk metal, it exists in different kind of layers there. Yeah,
I tell you what also exists that you don't know too much about, that's Canadian music, Mark, and I'm very excited because coming up actually this Sunday morning, you and I are going to be recording an episode of the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast with our buddies from Manitoba. And we're going to introduce you to a little Canadian music. And me and the boys were kind of going back and forth today on potential acts. And I know you got a kick out of some of the band names. We got bands like Killer Dwarves, New Meanies, The Odds, Max Webster, Headstone, The Tragically Hip, of course, Triumph. You're in for quite an education this weekend. And I really think you're going to like what we picked out for you.
You mean to say that it's not just a mix of Rush tunes? Because that's what you Canadians listen to, right? Just Rush?
Well, we listen to Rush, but there's a lot more than Rush north of the border, my friend. And actually, no Rush tunes at all on what we're interested, because you've heard a lot of Rush. So
that's true. It's yeah. Very true.
Yeah. But very excited about that. Sean Geek and Fast Fret were on our show a couple of weeks ago. Last week, of course, we had the big collab with Kelsey and Eric Senich, who, if you've follow him at all, on social media, on his website, Booked on Rock. He's doing a blog now and wrote some very nice things about our show, Mark. So I would recommend everyone go check out his blog. He's been writing a lot about Wolfgang Van Halen this week, too, because that was big news, Mark. I know you were busy Saturday, but the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert was amazing, top to bottom. So many highlights. But for us Van Halen fans, like we knew Wolfie was going to be in London at Wembley doing something with Foo Fighters and what have you. What we got, though, is a little tribute not only to Taylor Hawkins but to his pops as well, as they came out and did On Fire and Hot for Teacher with Dave Grohl on bass and Wolfie on guitar and Justin Hawkins from The Darkness on vocals. Just an amazing performance.
I mean, you're right. I did miss it on the live show, but upon my return home, I did notice on Paramount Plus that they did sort of give us a sort of a highlight of the performances of the night. So I got to see the Hot for Teacher performance for sure, and I must say, not shocked at the level of skill and just outright amazingness of the performance given who were involved, but it's still really nice to see. And it's nice seeing it's because Wolfie's got that same Van Halen grin that his old man has, and when he plays and when he knows he's ripping the stage right, you know, that grin shows up on his face and it's like, oh my god, that's gotta melt your heart a little bit. Even if you were just a casual fan of Eddie Van Halen at best, that's still looking at him up on stage, seeing that grin while he's just melted the faces with his guitar solo, it's got to make you feel good.
I got a little teary-eyed, I'm not gonna lie. It was amazing. And to see Wolfie get up there on his own terms doing Van Halen stuff, because ever since his dad died, everyone's, you should reform Van Halen with Wolfie playing guitar. And it's like, no, let the kid, you know, forge his own path and honor his dad his way. I don't think his dad would want him just playing old Van Halen songs the rest of his life. He'd want him going out there and doing his own thing. And his own thing is pretty fucking incredible. That Mammoth WVH album is absolutely amazing. And we heard it today, really Wolfie said next week he's starting work on album two. So I got very, very excited. I can't wait to hear that. But I know earlier this week, one of these music sites posted, again, you know, Wolfie's so good, they should reform Van Halen with David Lee Roth, with Sammy Hagar, with Michael Anthony, and Wolfie could play guitar and go out on the road. And Greg Runoff actually first said no, and then Wolfie said, I agree, absolutely no. Just, you know, let Wolf go out and forge his own path and do his own thing. And he's honoring his dad every single time he picks up a guitar and plays music, as far as I'm concerned. And his own stuff, because his dad was probably his biggest fan. I remember when Wolfie kind of did a little commentary on each of the tracks on his album. He talked, oh, dad really loved this, or dad loved this song, dad loved this part. You know, Eddie was his biggest fan and was such a huge fan of that album. So I'm just so sick of the conversation that we need to have this big Van Halen reunion. There's no Van Halen without Eddie Van Halen. Even with Wolfgang, it's still not really Van Halen, right? So just let them do their own thing. If they want to get together and do like an EVH tribute, 100%, it's going to be, you know, the best thing ever. But if they don't, that's fine too. But yeah, anyways, I just want to say, so Wolfie wanted to honor his dad and his friend Taylor Hawkins, who's a huge Van Halen fan. If you watch Taylor, 9 times out of 10 behind the drum kit, he was wearing the Van Halen pattern tights, right? Like, loved it.
Oh yeah.
So like I said, Dave Grohl on bass, Wolfie was on guitar, Justin Hawkins on vocals, and Josh Fries on drums. They did a little Hot for Teacher, and if you'll just indulge me, Mark, I'd like to play a little bit of that for you tonight.
By all means, do that.
I love that shot. You can see it on the screen. Wolfie's doing the intro, and they cut to Dave, and he's just like on his knee, just staring at the kid, like, fuck, this kid can play.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys! I wonder what the teachers are gonna look like this year.
Justin Hawkins doing like the exact lyrics from the beginning of Hot for Teacher. Anyway, these guys are killing it. Yeah, go watch it on Paramount Plus, or, you know, MTV didn't put any clips up. This is a rip. Somebody shot it on their camera phone. That's why it doesn't sound the best, but you can watch it on Paramount Plus if you can. Totally worth it. And of course, Wolf, I should back that up a little bit. Wolfie's even doing the harmony, because he did on tour for how many years? This guy in the article was amazed, like, Wolfie's even doing the harmony. It's like, he did for 7 years. Course, he was part of Van Halen. He did 2 massive world tours.
I love that people are just sort of becoming aware of Wolfie as if he just didn't exist before.
Yeah.
Like, did you guys, like, just were you just not paying attention when he was touring with Van Halen? He was on bass, playing with his dad, playing with his uncle, playing with David Lee Roth. Like, where were you guys when this was happening? Like, Wolfie is not a brand new thing. No, he has been he's been an ongoing master, like, or whatever you want to call him. And this is not new. His presence is not new.
Oh, it's unreal. And Wolfie is on the bill for the Los Angeles Taylor Hawkins tribute concert on September 27th. So now speculation is, do they do 2 other Van Halen songs? I wouldn't mind if they went out there and did 2 Mammoth songs. Like, they're that good.
I really think they should do that. I would love to hear Wolfie do some Foo Fighters. I would love hear that. I mean, it wouldn't be completely out of the realm of possibility for him to do that. Also, not only that, I would love to hear him and Shane, Taylor Hawkins' son Shane, who just absolutely wailed on the drums for My Hero. I would love to see those two kind of collab and do like a little jam sesh, something like that, because good Lord, that
wouldn't
kid
that be
is
amazing?
So good.
Oh.
Yeah, it would.
Well, and they brought Nandi Bushnell too. Of course, she was the young lady who challenged Dave Grohl to a drum off, and she went out, I think, was it Learn to Fly? I think she did.
I believe so. They did not put that on the Paramount Plus highlights, which I thought was a crock of shit because I knew that she was going to be playing on that show, and they didn't show her. But I do believe she did learn to fly.
And killed it. Killed it. But yeah, you mentioned Shane, a very emotional moment, and kid fucking slayed it. Like, and he looked just like his dad. He had that kind of same intensity and joy in drumming that his dad did. Very, very moving. I think the whole Hawkins family will be in Los Angeles. Hopefully we get Shane doing another Foo Fighters track because that was really awesome.
I would love to hear it. And, you know, not to mention Dave Grohl recorded those drums so many years ago for that track. So you got to not take away from the fact that he's playing not only the way his dad would play, he's also kind of bringing in some of the Dave Grohlness of it all, which is not easy to do. It's not easy to balance that. And the kid just completely made that song his own, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. And Dave even said in the intro, like, I think this drummer hits the drums harder than any other drummer I've ever seen. And he may be right. Like, did you see how Shane attacked those drums? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was hitting them hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do and keep your rhythm straight.
Yeah. But let's keep on with the Wolfie news, shall we?
Uh-huh.
There's another little piece here. Of course, we mentioned his performance at the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert. And officially, the Podcastle Rock crew is 100% Team Wolfgang. You do you. Don't worry about all these fucking idiots that say you need to reform Van Halen and all that. No. Nope. If you never play another song from your dad's band again in your life, that's cool with us because your shit is pretty fucking great. And I'm a huge, huge Mammoth WVH fan. I know they just announced a big tour with Alter Bridge. Of course, nowhere coming to Canada. Please, at some point, I really wish Mammoth would find their way north of the border, do a proper Canadian tour. I'll travel 8, 10, 12 hours. I don't care. I really would like to see these guys. But the new other piece of Wolfgang Van Halen news this week, it was just today, actually. Today, I don't know if you knew this, Mark. This is the 45th anniversary of the recording of Eruption.
I did not know that. And that is very serendipitous that we would be recording tonight then.
That's right. Now, we've already done Eruption. We did it with the Chris L. Show, and we did Out of Love Again, which was on Eddie Van Halen's birthday. That's why we did Eruption. But the Van Halen news desk and Wolfie himself on Twitter, he released a little 53-second clip of him playing a part of Eruption. He's playing it on his dad's Frankenstrat, which is the exact guitar that it was recorded on 45 years ago. He recorded this in 2015 while he was tracking some guitars for the first Mammoth album. So I thought we'd give that a listen. What do you say?
Sure.
All right. This is Wolfgang Van Halen way back in 2015 doing a little piece of Eruption.
give me a classic there, buddy. Two differently, so I'm not sure where I'm supposed to play it. I can't
So yeah, the kid's okay at guitar.
I mean, I have heard people attempt to recreate the solo. I've heard people do pretty good job at covering this Eruption. But there's always something about it that feels a little inauthentic, and that just to say that, well, you can play it, but you don't sound like Eddie when you play it. Wolfie, on the other hand, very much sounds like his dad playing this thing, and it doesn't hurt the fact that he's literally playing on the Frankenstrat that the song was recorded with. So it helps. That helps. But I mean, I don't know. He had this look on his face like, I can do this in my sleep. I probably have done this in my sleep. Like, this is just in my blood, so this is nothing to me. Like, I can do this no problem. And yet still, it didn't feel like he was being robotic with it. It felt natural. It just came to him naturally, it looks like. And that's impressive.
just effortlessly, right? And yeah. even at the Taylor Hawkins show, everything he was doing was just effortlessly. The kid is just unbelievably talented. Mark, have you ever tried Eruption on the guitar?
Yeah, I've tried. I can safely tell you that at one point I could do a lot of it, could not do all of it, still cannot do all of it. And at this point, I don't really care to try, just because like I don't need to have Eruption on my guitar sort of repertoire in order to say like, I'm a guitar player. Look, see, because I did this one. It's like, no. That song, that solo, that's something special. Okay. And like, you only bust that out on a special occasion, maybe. And even then, maybe not. Just keep it in your arsenal. If you can play it, great, but maybe don't.
And it started out as just a warm up. He was just warming up because he had a gig at the weekend and you're just practicing. And Ted Templeman walked in and said, "Hey, what's that? Let's put it on tape." And that was Eruption. Pretty incredible.
Eruption. Yeah.
But last week we didn't do Eruption. We did a balance track, and I'm very excited. I don't know if you caught this, Mark, on Twitter, but I finally found a sealed copy of Balance on vinyl for almost a tenth of what other people have been paying for it. So I was very, very happy with that purchase. I still need to get a different kind of truth. So if anybody out there knows of a spare copy of a different kind of truth that won't bankrupt me, please let us know on Twitter. Follow us at Podcastable Rock and give me a shout out. I need to get that record.
Very important. Follow the protocol of do not break Corey. Find him a decently priced copy, please. But yes, I did see that on Twitter, and I thought that was amazing. And of course, it very fitting. Very fitting you would find you a copy of that. But as you say, we did a song from Balance last week. We did Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do for our rockin' poll. And what were the results of the poll?
Oh, this one kind of surprised me. I thought it'd be a little more definitive, but it was 72.9% What Dreams Are Made Of, 27.1% This Dream Is Over. So maybe closer than what we've had lately. I thought we'd be more in the 80s for What the Dreams Are Made Of, but this is 72.9%. A little bit surprising, but if you'd like, I'll get into the comments and maybe we'll get some insight on.
Yeah, let's get some answers on this.
All right. First up, we have a guest on the show before, Heath McCoy, said, not a fan of Balance, but this song was always its one redeeming track for me. Sammy's lyrics feel insincere, like he's trying to connect with the grunge kids, but it's one of his best vocals. And the brothers Van Halen come on so heavy, one of Van Hager's finest, in my opinion. It's funny he mentions the lyrics, because I think the band actually went, because originally it was supposed to be a little lighter hearted Sammy track, and the band went to him and said, no, we want it a little darker. So that's when he changed the lyric kind of more Nirvana style to Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do, not Look At What Love Can Do, or whatever the original title was going to be. So,
right.
Next up, Kevin Brown, our good friend from the Tom Petty Project, who actually did us up a couple of new t-shirt designs, Mark. I can't wait to show you. They'll be in our store soon. One is a Play Splat and Bone Sammy Hagar shirt, which a lot of fun. And he even did up a logo and a shirt for the Cult of Mariano. I'm hesitant to put it on there, but
man, I don't know. I don't know if legally we can sell that. I'm not sure. We'll have to find out.
It's a great shirt. And even though I'm not a fan of the Cult of Mariano, I may get the shirt just because it's got a really cool goat's head design on it. But I digress. Yeah. Kevin Brown says, love this track. Balance is a weirdly important Van Halen album to me because of where I was when it came out. And a very specific freezing 6-hour journey in the back of an Army Bedford truck in Washington State. Got to get him to tell us that story. Killer vocals and Alex deep in the pocket while Eddie heavies it up. There you go. That's from Kevin. False Premise says, so much better than Man on a Mission. The parentheses are lame, though. And even put them in parentheses. So that's fantastic. Yeah, I agree. The parentheses are lame. So great comment there. Good buddy Gene says, incredible song that shows off the top to bottom talent that this band had. I don't understand how 1/3 of the votes are currently down, but the contrarians will never be able to ruin this one for me. Good on you, Gene. I'm right there with you. I love this track too. Yeah. Greg says, gritty vocals, gorgeous harmonies, and a haunting guitar make this track a winner. Van Halen was never afraid to explore new directions. By the way, All-Star August was fantastic, and I really enjoyed Kelsey and Eric Senich. You brought up Chuck Klosterman, maybe a future guest. I don't know. Maybe we should reach out to him and talk about his list. He ranked all the Van Halen songs from like 131 to 1. So yeah, potentially.
Might have to get him on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Josh says, splendid performance, and Sammy's lyrical raconteur was spot on. There you go. Thanks for that. Yeah, absolutely. Our good friends from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast said, I don't know, man. I just don't know. This one of those tracks that work against Sammy in the Day versus Sammy Wars, not my fave Sammy ballad. However, he followed that up with, now I feel like an asshole. I voted before I listened in and mixed up my Van Halen songs with Love in the title. I want to take back my vote. I forgot how great this track is. This is the one standout on the album. The other Love song, well, that will come up later. So,
well, there you go. The results of the poll make sense now. Freaking Sean. You know what? I bet Sean was not the only one to miss vote because they thought the song title was a different one that they were thinking of. So if that was you, you guys fess up.
I wonder if that's a thing where people vote before listening to the song. Because I think that's come up before. Not from Sean, but from someone else. Yeah.
I'm going to assume, depending on what album and maybe depending on the song. I think we get a lot of votes from those who don't listen to the song first. It is what it is, but that's why we read the comments, because we know these guys are listening.
Yep. Our good friend Airhead says, you guys had a great episode until you started talking about fucking Kiss. As one of the guys who talked about Kiss, my apologies, but I do enjoy that band too. He said, seriously, such a great track. Looking at how contentious this one is proving to be, I'm grateful Kelsey and Eric were on to help give it the enthusiastic treatment this one deserves. 100% agree with that comment. He goes on to say, this one also has a special place in my heart for being the first new Van Halen song I heard since becoming a fan. I bought the Fuck album off my brother, who negotiated a bundle in 1984 for more money. Smart. And Balance was the first album I was anticipating after becoming a huge fan. So that's a great perspective. He came in right after Four Unlawful. So that's kind of cool. I can imagine that anticipation for Balance, especially becoming a big fan so late. Jonathan says, the sound of Al's snare in this song is the sound of a femur breaking into two. Just awesome sonics on this song. But man, the video, no smiles. It was like, where did the party go? And yeah, a lot of people alluded to the fact that, you know, the band was so close to breaking up at this point. They weren't really talking. And the video did look a little awkward. We should have watched the video, actually. We never did. But I didn't get that feeling listening to the song, but watching the video, I totally get what Jonathan's talking about. And to that point, Steve Harold says, that whole album sounds like a band that has grown tired of each other. We've only heard a couple of tracks off that album. I don't get that vibe listening to it, but seeing the band perform at this time, I can kind of get it from that perspective. John Mariano says, this isn't majority rules. There is a pass-fail system, and Don't Tell Me has failed, which is just unbelievably wrong.
Of course.
There's the logo that Kevin did for the Cult of Mariano, just so you could see it on your screen there, Mark. What do you think?
Oh, man. It's like... It's so great. I feel like if John Mariano happens to see this thing, he will once again be a contrarian, because he'll say, they should have used one of my doodles for my characters. Like, yeah, probably should have, John, but no, I think that's pretty fantastic, actually. So very metal.
If John were a metal goat, he would look exactly like that. So I thought Kevin nailed it. Tom says, Sammy the Circle did a hell of a cover on their lockdown release, and he actually gave us a YouTube link. I checked it out, and he's 100% right. It is a hell of a cover. So go to our Twitter feed on this chain, and you will see that tweet from Tom and that fantastic version by Sammy and the Circle. And that is this week's comments.
All right. Well, can't win them all, but according to the poll, it is what dreams are made of. So Don't Tell Me gets to slide on into the winner's circle. So to all you contrarians. All right. So we have rock and polled. We have gone through the news and what the goings ons. Corey, shall we now move ourselves to the wheel and see what song we're going to be discussing tonight?
Yes, sir. And we should talk about, I've been noticing how many people use the word manifest now, and I like to think it's because of you, Mark, because you started that whole manifest trend. So let's do some manifesting here tonight, and maybe put humans being aside for tonight, because I know you brought that up a few times. Pick a new one. What would you like to manifest here this evening?
The other favorite, the one that I'm really shocked we haven't landed on yet, but that's just making the anticipation grow even further. But Ain't Talking About Love is one of my all-time, not even just for Van Halen, just one of my all-time favorite rock tracks ever, just ever. It just really cooks, man. I can't wax poetic enough about that track. I would really love to hear it and discuss it.
100%. Hard agree. I would love for that to be spun tonight. I'm going to go in a different direction. We had a Sammy track last week. I'm in the mood for another Sammy track. That one was a little divisive. I want to go back to an album that I think people largely agree is fantastic, and that's 5150 and some Summer Nights. It's very warm here this week in Saskatchewan. We're clinging on to summer. I'd like to hear some Summer Nights.
That's funny because this past couple of days over here, the summer has been letting up a bit. It's a little cool, a little bit cooler. So I don't know. Somebody's playing a joke on on Canada and the southern U.S. in terms of their weather patterns. Not sure if I like that very much, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we've been in the 90s here in Saskatchewan. So,
well, all right,
I'm not complaining.
Keep it. We've sweated enough. It's time for us to freeze a little bit. So, but what isn't going to freeze is this wheel after we spin it. And hopefully, maybe with our power of manifestation, we will pull out a track that we both can just absolutely enjoy and rock out and have a very intellectual discussion. So whenever you're ready, whenever Sammy's ready, spin that wheel and let's give it a go.
Here we go.
And we are coming up to, what's this?
Oh.
The Seventh Seal from Balance. Mark, do you have to run and grab us a special guest?
I absolutely do. So hold that thought.
Yes.
Well, this is a fortuitous, I believe is the word that I'm looking for, because we have spun the Seventh Seal. This is the track when the this is the track that my lovely lady has been waiting for, and we promise that if we spin the track that she wants, we will bring her on the show. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen and everything in between, Christy, say hi.
Hi guys, how's it going?
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. We've been waiting and waiting for the Seventh Seal to get spun. And tonight's the night. And unfortunately, it's right after Dragon Con. So I understand you guys are a little worn down, but hopefully looking forward to rocking out to some Van Halen tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I've been teased a couple of times with nearly landing, so I'm excited to get into this one.
Now, I'm going to ask you, Christy, what is it about the Seventh Seal that really got to you?
It's literally like an Indiana Jones style epic journey. Like, everything about that song to me, like every time I've ever listened to it, like I am in the story that it's telling. And that story can be a lot of different things, you know, depending on like if you take it literally or, you know, take it a little further with your imagination. But like, it's an adventure, it's a quest.
I like that. It's a good answer. Yeah.
It's been a while since I heard it, but we had a little section with Tibetan monks kind of right off the hop. So yeah, your description of it being a quest, I think is very apropos. Mark, do you have any recollections of this one before we get into it?
Not a ton. I remember thinking, when Eddie passed, I kind of went on this Van Halen binge, so to speak, and just kind of went back and listened to a lot of my favorite tracks. And then at one point I just got on Spotify and hit shuffle and just said, whatever you want to give me, just let me have it. Seventh Seal was definitely a part of that group of songs that ended up playing. And but before that, I really didn't have too much of a connection to it. It wasn't until this person over here told me like that is her Van Halen song. I was like, oh, okay. So now I have to sort of ingrain myself in it and learn it and just sort of be as familiar with it as possible, just because I have such a good association with it now.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There you go. So if you two are ready, what do you say? Let's get into a little Seven Seal from 1995's Balance.
Do it.
Let's do it.
Right now, at the risk of pissing off Christy, I do have to stop the song on occasion, A, so we don't get sued, and B, to get Mark's comments on the intro to that song. Everybody was having a lot of fun when that song kicked in.
It's absolutely the most different Van Halen intro. I struggle to think of another track by them that begins so oddly, you know what I mean? Like, you, when you think of Van Halen, you don't think automatically you're gonna hear Tibetan throat singing as an intro, or this to me sounds like hey, you know what, right before you watch this Doctor Strange movie, here you go, here's something to sort of put your mind at in that similar fashion. Or maybe I'm just saying that because I've recently watched Doctor Strange lately, I don't know, but that's, to me, that's sort of the vibe it gives off. But right away, man, they're just, it cooks. Like the opening riff, just the band coming together really cooks. Love that little octave jump Michael does on the bass, just sort of galloping at the top of the frets. So we love it when Michael shows off a little bit. How do you feel about it, Christy?
I have none of the technical comparisons to make, but like, for me, what makes or breaks any kind of a like just favorite hit song is it does have to grab me right away. Like, if the buildup is too slow, then you lose my attention, and like, you're not expecting that behind this, like, kind of, like you said, like this temple, you know, music, the little wind chimes, and then boom, you know you're going somewhere with this song, like, immediately. There's no question that it's going to be a good ride.
Very well said. And I know I said it last week, I'm going to say it again this week. The production on this album, I think, is fantastic. I love Bruce Fairbairn as a producer. There's so much bass. You mentioned that little octave jump. you know, the bass kind of comes up too, right in the mix. You can really, mm-hmm. really catch that octave jump. It was fantastic. But everybody sounds tremendous here right off the hop. Even the Tibetan monks doing the throat singing, I thought sounded great.
It's hard to screw that up unless you're just trying to imitate them. But yeah.
Have you tried it? Let's hear some Tibetan throat singing here, Mark. Oh, that's not bad. Here, I thought I was going to catch you and embarrass you on the podcast, but no, you actually did pretty good.
I mean, no, that was pretty embarrassing, but to hell with it. Leave it in there.
Well, at least I could say you're the second best Loki on the call here tonight, because Christy kicked your ass in that regard.
Damn it. Absolutely. I mean, she did. It's not fair. She had a wig.
Oh, that's the reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the exactly reason. The reason. Only the reason.
Now, lyrically, I kind of like the story of this song, which is it was kind of recommended. Eddie just kind of had a newfound sobriety around this time, and his therapist actually urged him to relax and imagine where he was after drinking a six-pack of beer. And during this period is when he wrote The Seventh Seal, this very mystical-sounding Seventh Seal. And Sammy really kind of continues that with the lyrics here, talking about finding the miracle, splash the holy water on me, the Holy Trinity, all that kind of stuff. So I really kind of like the direction this song is taking.
Yeah, they go on the sort of religious vibe on that, but I didn't know that Eddie's sobriety had a lot to do with the making of this song, so that makes sense. That happens a lot with people, especially like in a program. You know, there's a lot of like religious overtones involved, so yeah, I could see that. It's also called The Seventh Seal, so right away you know you're going to get some sort of theological you know, undertone in there as well, perhaps. And based on this first verse, yeah, it's there. It's all there.
Christy, anything to add?
I think this is just like what gives me that whole Indiana Jones, like, you know, like Holy Grail vibe, you know, taking the lyrics literally. And that's where like I get that like sense of adventure. But other than that, I like how you have a clear picture of the story that is about to get told and then a minute to rest with, you know, the music that follows after. So you can kind of like sit on it. A lot of times I lose interest in songs if I can't follow the story that it's telling because it's just like too quickly paced, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna get it, I swear. One more piece of the puzzle out there. Yeah. Gotta get lucky, gotta get that done. A little bit of luck never hurt no one. Come on, take me down, 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 down. I'm in a cold sweat.
So, okay, not to harp on it, not to bring it up because I'm going to, but you guys know I'm a Sammy guy. No disrespect to David Lee Roth, it's fine, but Roth couldn't sing this.
No.
Like, could you imagine if Roth attempted to sing that? He couldn't do this. He absolutely could not do it.
No, Dave is good at what he does. Yes. Sammy is good at everything, I think, pretty much. Even Sammy's bad vocal performances are pretty fucking good.
And, yeah, exactly. And I only bring it up, amazing. It's just because, look, I've heard Sammy do the Roth era tunes. Not many, but I've heard him do it, and he's fantastic. There's mm-hmm. a reason why you're not going to get Roth singing any Sammy tunes, because Roth just, he doesn't possess that vocal ability. And so when I always talk about how I'm more of a Sammy guy, because of his vocal prowess, and I prefer it. It's because of songs like this. It's because of the things a lot from Balance, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. It just showcases the kind of vocalist Sammy is. You can talk about the lyrics all you want, but Sammy just, he just has that power. And this song is full of power. You need power vocals to accompany it. And I'm sorry, but David Lee Roth's vocals just would not give this song the extra oomph and power that it needed. And thus, we might have gotten just a completely different, less good song.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I didn't know that, you know, it was at a time, like Corey mentioned, of Eddie's sobriety. So, like, listening to that last verse through that knowledge, I don't think Dave can give the grit that that song needed. Like, if you're listening, you know, and then comparing it to his struggle with getting sober, you know, Lord, don't let me drown, not yet. I'm in a cold sweat. Like, that's pretty obviously, like, not right on the nose, but it's also symptoms of going through getting sober. And I think Dave would have put too much party on it for the seriousness of the time. Like, Sammy just, he's got that grit and that sound of suffering in his throat. I don't know. Like,
yeah. I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave wouldn't have gave the song the gravitas it maybe deserved, whereas Sammy can, because his range is infinitely better than Dave. And I don't, even the 100% Dave guys who are out there, I don't think they can even deny that, right? Dave trying to do this song would be a disaster. Dave is great in his wheelhouse, but his wheelhouse is somewhat limited, whereas Sammy doesn't own a wheelhouse. He could just do whatever the fuck he wants, and it's amazing.
He breaks the wheel.
And this is maybe his best sounding Van Halen. This and For Unlawful, I think, are his two best sounding Van Halen albums. And
I will
even
not
little
disagree.
Oh, and little things in that chorus, like when he sings, I'm in a cold sweat, the way he hits sweat, in cold sweat, right? Like, just cool little inflections like that just really make this track.
Yeah, he's just very he's versatile that way in his vocal ability. Like I said, say what you want about some of his lyrics. But you cannot deny the man's ability to be a well-rounded vocalist.
And still, amazing vocalist. Yeah, unreal. Okay, now for all those listening with headphones on, listen to what Al's doing on those cymbals during that section. It's fucking killer.
I was just going to say, man, he's like, Alex is like, hey, let's have a little ride. This song needs a little ride. So here you go.
Just every once in a while, you got Eddie doing the lead and the rhythm there, sounding great. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best rhythm guitar players of all time as well as lead. And Al's just got to put a little thing like, oh yeah, I'm here too. Check this shit out. And sounds amazing.
I love the songs that make it appear like the brothers not exactly trying to one-up each other, but just trying to keep at the same pace. You know, Eddie's going to go off in his thing, and Alex is like, hold on. No. Don't you get ahead of me.
Somewhere in the mix, there's Mike Anthony going, can I have another octave change or something? I'm here too.
He's like, are we doing harmonies or what? I'm ready.
Away my suffering. Oh, splash that holy water on me.
All right, I got a little Mikey there. He mm-hmm. was a little lower octave maybe, but he was at least every once in a while. They just got to bring that slider up for him. Here you go, buddy. Here's a little Mikey, and then take it right
there
back.
There you go. Yeah, go on there, Mikey. You have a go.
I don't want to stop the song because Christy's enjoying it so much, but I feel bad. I kind of have to. I can't afford lawyers.
There's that, and there's just so much to discuss because there's a lot happening. It doesn't sound like there's a lot happening, but there is. Especially if you're listening to what Eddie's doing. He's keeping like the rhythm's going. The rhythm section is keeping the pace of the song moving, and then Eddie is adding just basically some ethereal sort of ornamentation going on in the back. He's not doing a ton of guitar work on the surface, and yet he is. He's keeping the flavor spicy, shall we say? What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna just say, don't worry about stopping the song. Like, I stop it and replay it and back it up a million times when I'm practicing like my perfect Sammy impression, because I want to be able to do like every and yeah, you know. So
can you give us a little bit of that Sammy impression, like sing a verse?
Well, if we start a Patreon, maybe we'll have a tier, and you guys can have a go. Like, Christy and I will both do a duet of Sammy impressions.
Sign me up. Fuck, I'm going to pay for that tier.
There you go. There it is. Yeah. Yes. You heard it here, folks.
That is the Patreon tier right there.
Forget Mark mows your lawn and sings while he does it. I want to hear the Mark and Christy duet.
I accept that. A little bit of Michael flavor is like right before we fade out.
Every
like,
once in a while, yeah. We're gonna push here. The fader I'm up. Yep.
We adore right. you, Michael Anthony. We do.
Love me some Mikey. That's the seventh seal from Balance, guys. I want to read you a quote from Chuck Klosterman in his ultimate ranking of Van Halen songs. He ranked the seventh seal 101st out of all of Van Halen's tracks. And he says, wow. Ambitious. It starts off with a sample of Tibetan monks and written during a provisional stretch of sobriety for Eddie. There's a seriousness to the seventh seal that warrants appreciation. It would be fine on a mid-period Yes album. It does not, however, capture or express the strongest qualities of this particular quartet. I don't think I agree with the Yes comment, Mark.
No, because what's he trying to say? Is he trying to imply that Van Halen this song is their like prog type of track? Because yeah, I don't get it. I don't get where you're going with the Yes thing. Or is it because Yes was so prog heavy that a lot of their music does sound sort of epic in scope? Maybe this dude expected a little bit too much from the way the tracks start. I don't know. We're finding that people's expectations versus the reality of a lot of Van Halen tracks seem to skew, you know?
Yeah. I tell you, this song was nominated for a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance. I don't think Yes was ever nominated for Best Hard Rock Performance at the Grammys. So
no, I'm curious who they lost it to that year.
I wonder if I could look that up. Why don't you guys talk about the track while I check that out?
Would you have you had much experience in the band Yes?
No, I don't think I know who that is. Or if I do, I don't remember that I know. So,
a sample of one of their songs made it into YouTube meme culture there for a little bit. Did you ever see those videos, the "To Be Continued"
No.
Oh, well, I'll show you that sometime. But probably the band's most famous track, the intro is used in those videos. You'll probably know it if you heard it. But other than that, no, not a lot with Yes going on in terms of hard rockness.
And so this person who compared them to Yes, it's just on site, right? For me?
Yeah.
Like, okay. I don't understand a lot of the technical ins and outs of what he was talking to and comparing them with another band, but he sounded like he was entirely wrong.
In our opinion, yes.
All right. I found the other acts that were nominated for the Hard Rock Performance Grammy in 1996. First was Alice in Chains for Grind.
Oh.
Right? Good track.
Oh, yeah.
Next was one of my personal all-time favorites, Primus, why known as Big Brown Beaver.
I did not know that one was nominated. That's hilarious.
Love that song. Next is Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Of course.
Van Halen 7 Seal, and the winner that year, Pearl Jam, Spin the Black Circle.
Wow.
Not the track I would have picked for their win. I mean, good for Pearl Jam, and I love Pearl Jam, but that's not the track I would have imagined. Interesting.
So what would you have voted for out of those five? What would have been your Grammy award-winning track?
If I'm being completely transparent and honest, probably Grind.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I that would have been a biased voting just because in the 90s, I was just real, real big into Alice in Chains. I was big into Van Halen too, but Alice in Chains were, you know, and Soundgarden, those were my dudes.
At the time, because of how old I was, I probably would have gone for Red Hot Chili Peppers because I did not actually get my dad's Balance album until a few years later.
Mm, okay.
And then it was one of few CDs that I was allowed to have. So.
There you go.
Well,
would
I tell you.
Would you have gone Primus?
I may have. I got to be honest. That is the song that, here's a little bit of it for you. That's the song I've put on the Pot of Thunder listener submission list. And I'm hoping to hell someday they pick Why Known as Big Brown Beaver. It's glorious musically, lyrically. This thing is amazing. I know we're not a Primus podcast, but here's a little bit. Oh, that's not it.
That's different.
He keeps wanting to play Professor Nutterbutter's House of Treats. No.
Nope, not that one.
My wife gets sick of me playing that song in the car with the kids in there. I'm like, they don't know what the fuck they're singing about. They're talking about an aquatic creature. Why Nona loved her big brown beaver and she stroked him all the time.
Yes.
It's a happy song.
It's beautiful. It's about a person and their pet animal.
That's right.
And it's celebrating wildlife. That's what it is. That's all it needs to be. We are not the Primus podcast, but we could be. So.
Well, if we're just doing that one song, I would be in. Yeah.
Oh man, that would be an interesting journey. If there's a podcast out there already covering the Primus catalog, God bless you. That's all I can say.
All right, guys, it's time to vote. This might seem academic, but what do you say we give the first vote to Christy since she was nice enough to join us this week?
That's true. That's true. So, Christy, the way you haven't been on the show, so I'll just assume you don't know how it works. And what we do is we ask you, is this song What Dreams Are Made Of, or is this the dream over for you for Seventh Seal? What say you?
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to give commentary. No, I mean, like, this song has always been What Dreams Are Made Of. It being one of the few albums that I was allowed to possess in preteenhood, you know, since a lot of the music was sus, as the kids say these days, to my parents, you know. I don't know. Like, I think I've played it on repeat. I still have that CD, the same CD. It still is well taken care of, and there have been times I've still played it on repeat. So yeah, like, it's my favorite Van Halen song. One day I hope to perform it in the style of Sammy Hagar. All the screeching and screaming and throat growling that Mark is going to have to teach me.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Not a lot of throat screaming with Sammy Hagar, but yeah.
You know what? For our series finale in 77 episodes, maybe we should end with you guys doing the Seventh Seal. What do you say?
We could totally make that happen. So, but I don't know. I like the Patreon tier thing as well. So, you know, we'll let the audience decide how they feel about it.
There you go.
Be foolish for your money.
All right, Mark, your turn to vote. What say you? Is this dream alive or is it over? And we all know goddamn well, if you wanted to get laid tonight, you were voting yes on this one.
He beat me to it. Because I was about to be like, I swear I did not have like anything poking into his ribs with a threat.
Then how do you explain this sharp pencil right beside me? Anyway, how do I follow that? Is this the most epic of Van Halen tunes? Probably not. However, it's still very good. If you had no notion of what this song was prior to listening to, and you're introduced to it by these Tibetan monks, you think, what's happening? Or did Van Halen go new age on us all of a sudden? What happened? But no, they just wanted to give you a little extra flavor, and I really like the context of where the song comes from and what inspired it. And look, I'm just gonna keep saying it. Sammy Hagar just sounds amazing on this album. He sounds amazing regardless. He's the better vocalist. I'm sorry, he is. I'm sorry. In terms of singing, he's the better vocalist. And this song is a prime example of his vocal capability. And I can't stop hearkening on that. But not to be overshadowed by the rest of the guys in the band whatsoever, especially that rhythm section. Big props to Michael and Alex. And of course, Eddie providing the sort of ethereal wall of sound that that's happening to provide extra flavor for you all. I mean, like, this is a good rocking track. And as we said on the show, do you really need anything more from Van Halen than that? Personally, me? No, not all the time. I just need something that cooks. Seventh Seal cooks. So there's my vote. And now it's all on you, Corey. Are you going to be the Mariano contrarian and tell us that the dream is just not only is it over, it's dead? Or will you rise above it and say, this is what dreams are made of?
From the stories I've heard, I fear Christy. So I don't want her tracking me down in Saskatchewan to kick my ass if I voted this song down, but I wouldn't anyway. This was a great track. And I got to be honest, when we were talking originally about this podcast, Mark, you'd mentioned Christy's favorite song is The Seventh Seal. And maybe when we spun it, she would come on the show. So when I heard that, I'm like, I'm not even going to listen to Balance because I want to be kind of pleasantly surprised. I hadn't heard a lot of this album until we started talking about doing the show. I heard some of the bigger tracks, Cannot Stop Loving You, Not Enough, Amsterdam, that kind of stuff. But I kind of knew Seventh Seal, but I wasn't really familiar with it. So listening to it with kind of fresh ears tonight, fell in love with this song. I love everything about it. Lyrically, it's great. The band, again, phenomenal. Bruce Fairbairn. I know Chris Ellen Pot of Thunder hates Bruce Fairbairn and his production style, but he produced some of my favorite albums of all time, like Pump and New Jersey and everything else. I thought he fucking nailed it with this band. Everyone sounds tremendous. I love it. Whenever that fader came up and gave me a little Mikey, it kind of made me smile, like, oh, there he goes. And oh, it's gone again. And I just really kind of love that. But like you said, I love both Sammy and Dave. I lean Dave just because when he's in his wheelhouse, he's tremendous. And lyrically, I think he does a really great job. But it doesn't mean I don't love Sammy. Sammy's fantastic. He's put in some stinkers lyrically, and I struggle to think of a track that he didn't sing well on. I think he's sung well on pretty much every single song we've covered. And I struggle to think of a song in the future we're going to cover that he didn't sing well on. But he's really top of his game on this song. Like I said, the little inflections on words here and there, and even when you just open it up and just let it fly, sounded tremendous. For all the people who say Balance is a garbage album, you're missing out, because this is a really underrated album, in my opinion. And I've loved almost every song we've done off this album. I can't wait to hear more.
Absolutely. Well said. And there it is. A surprise guest on a show. I know we talked about it at the top of the show. It's like, oh, it's nice for just you and I to chill out and just do a song, you know, decompress. And then, no, lo and behold, the wheel said, bitch, you thought. and it was time. It was time for Christy's debut. They've heard so much about you.
Your friendly goblin girlfriend attack.
Yes, the friendly goblin girlfriend. Wouldn't have it any other way. And that is the show, you guys. We've done it. We've got another Balance track on the records, on the books, and what a track it was. So after that, Corey, tell the people where they can find we mentioned new merch. Tell them where they can find new merch, where they can find you if they want to shout you out, and where they can follow the show.
They can follow us, www.podcastwillrock.com. You can get your merch there. You can catch up on old episodes. Drop us a line. Actually, we just got an email while we're recording tonight by a fellow by the name of Buck Goodman. And he said, I look forward to your shows every week and sometimes listen to them twice. Great to hear a fellow Canadian commenting on the legendary Van Halen. Rock on. Thank you very much, Buck, for listening. And thank you for dropping a line and letting us know. And please, if you'd like to let us know what you think of the show, do so. Even when you tell us we suck, which is on occasion. But lately, the lovers have outnumbered the haters, so we really appreciate that. If you want more of me, I can't imagine why. I do two more podcasts. One of them, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, with the aforementioned John Mariano, where we're breaking down the entire Aerosmith catalog. We've actually tweaked how we're doing the mixtapes. So listen for those episodes dropping very soon. We might have a new co-host on those shows as well. Oh. So be on the lookout for that. And Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking everything music and movies. We're going to get Mark on that show very soon, talking about some of his favorite songs from movies coming up. So but if you want to find me on Twitter, at CD Morset, and the show is at Podcast Will Rock.
Right on. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Drop me a line, tell me what's up. And also, how badly do you want to hear the Sammy Hagar impression? Let us know, because we can make that a reality. But we're still working on that tier. But thinking it might have to be a thing at this point. We've teased it so much. But so be on the lookout and let us know. Give us some feedback on that. Christy, do you want to promote anything? Give them do you want the people to know where you are?
I'm here.
She's here. That's all you get.
I'm here. It's good.
That's all you deserve.
You'll just have to make do with that. So I hope you enjoyed her on the show. Maybe if I coerce her enough, we can get her on another track.
I'll come in and play on Amsterdam.
Aha.
Oh, there we go.
Well, you heard it here.
That's right up my alley.
It's recorded. Can't take it back. So when Amsterdam comes around, Christy's coming to town. Yeah, that's how we roll. And that's how it goes. Another one in the books. Another one for your records. Put a spin on Balance. It is awesome. The Seventh Seal is awesome. And you're awesome because you tuned in to our show. We are, and the podcast will rock. And we will rock you later.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.